Continue along that line of thought with the message this morning. The title of the message is "It Shall Be Well," which goes along with the idea of fear not. It's a Shunammite woman. That's 2 Kings chapter 4. We just pray that the Lord will bless His word. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray You would just come, continue to be with us, Lord, and take over this part of the service also. Speak to us. Do as You please. We give the service. We give the message to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be speaking about events in the life of a person referred to as the Shunammite woman. She was a prominent woman in a town called Shunem in the northern kingdom of Israel. You remember that Israel was divided at this point. The northern kingdom of Israel, and you had the southern kingdom of Judah. We're in the northern kingdom, a town called Shunem. And it appears that the prophet Elisha frequently passed through Shunem because the Shunammite woman suggested to her husband that they enter a room onto their house, which would be for the prophet Elisha whenever he was in Shunem. Elisha, as we know, was the prophet who succeeded the prophet Elijah. So if we could read 2 Kings, we're going to read verses 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read at this point verses 8 to 17. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 8 to 17. Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. She said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, and it shall be that when he comes to us, that he can turn in there." One day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. He said to him, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army?'" And she answered, "I live among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Truly she has no son, and her husband is old." He said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "At this season next year, you will embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." The woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elisha had said to her. We'll stop there for now. So in verse 16, we see that the manner in which the Shunammite woman answered the prophet suggests that having a son or a child was like a dream coming true for her. And God always sees the good that we do. She made this upper room, and God was about to do something for her. She made the room and furnished the room for the prophet, and God saw it. And no good deed goes unnoticed before the Lord. So we just want to continue now in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 18 to 37. When the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to his servant, "Carry him home to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon and then died. So she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may go to the man, that I may run to the man of God and return. He said, why would you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slow down for the pace for me unless I tell you. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold on his feet. And Gehazi came near to her to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. If anyone salutes you, do not answer him, and lay my staff on the lad's face. The mother of the lad said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. Then Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face, but there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, the lad has not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth, and went up and stretched himself on him, and the lad sneezed 7 times, and the lad opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, take up your son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. Okay, if you're going to come in, have a seat. If you're going to come in, just have a seat and just sit down. Mark?
Yes.
Yes, just have a seat. Sit down. Okay, you can say hi after service, but just have a seat. So you could imagine this heart of this mother watching her son die. This son who was like a dream come true in her life. She may have thought, Lord, you revived a dream in me that I had long ago put to rest. I had accepted that I would not have a son. Then I have a son, and now he's dead. You can imagine what this woman was thinking. And maybe some of us have broken dreams in our lives. The Lord knows all about it. And if he could raise the dead, he could revive our broken dreams and put them back together again. But notice that the Shunammite woman did not make funeral arrangements like we would normally do. She did not make funeral arrangements after her son died. She asked her husband instead to get the donkey and one of the servants so that she could go to the prophet Elisha. Now picture it. Here's a dead son. Normally you go and you call the undertaker, you go and make arrangements. I did it when my father passed. Instead, she got a donkey and went to the prophet Elisha. Very interesting. Along with these preparations, she made a profound statement considering that her son was lying dead in the house. She said, it shall be well. we could just find that in the word over here, verse 23. Her husband said, why would you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she answers, it shall be well. Her son was dead. And she says, it shall be well. I mean, just something to really think about over here. Why did the Shunammite woman say, it shall be well? I mean, you have to dig into this. You have a dead son over there. And she goes to the prophet and she tells her husband, it shall be well. Why did this Shunammite woman say, it shall be well? How could this woman say, it shall be well, when her son was lying dead in the house? Was the situation going to be well because she was going to the prophet to give him a piece of her mind? Remember that she did not ask Elisha for a son. He prophesied to her that she would have a son. Or did this woman say, it shall be well, because she had faith that the Lord, through Elisha, could raise her son from the dead? Let's look for an answer. I'm not going to read it, but there's a portion in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 to 24. In a town called Zarephath, the son of the widow became so severely ill that he died. This woman had been providing food and water for the prophet Elijah, the prophet before Elisha. She was providing food and water for the prophet Elijah during a drought. Elijah prayed to the Lord and life returned to her son. It is possible that the Shunammite woman that we're reading about over here in 2 Kings chapter 4, it is possible that the Shunammite woman had heard how the Lord had used the prophet Elijah to raise the widow's son, which occurred about 15 years earlier. She may also have heard how Elisha had requested a double portion of Elijah's spirit when he was taken into heaven, which occurred about 14 years earlier. These factors could have helped the Shunammite woman to build her faith. Another biblical reference to support the idea that the Shunammite woman had faith that God could raise her son can be found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, which I'll read to you. It says, through faith, women received their dead to life again. That includes the Shunammite woman. I think it's safe to say that the Shunammite woman knew that her God, through the prophet Elisha, could raise her son from death, and therefore she said, it shall be well. Can we say in our lives, it shall be well? Well, I'm going to read to you Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God graciously gave us Jesus, do you think that he would hold back anything from us if it is in his will for our lives? If it's in his will, Jesus is not going to hold back from you. And as we said, he can do anything. Not cliche, just absolute truth, absolute fact. In giving us Jesus, God already gave us the best that he could give us. Why wouldn't he give us more? He is a gracious God who is infinite love. As we remember, love is not one of God's qualities. It's who he is. He is love. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Psalm 63, verse 3, your loving kindness is better than life. God is the love that will not let us go. The Psalms tell us that his mercy and his loving kindness endure how long? A lifetime, forever. Not just a lifetime, they endure forever. Therefore, we can have faith that it shall be well. We belong to the same God who created the entire universe from nothing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. We belong to the same God who used an east wind to divide the Red Sea so that the people of Israel could cross the sea on dry land. God made a way where there was no way. And he can do the same for us. And I'm sure you could probably think back in your life when God has done that, when you thought there's no way out. I mean, I felt like that. And I'm sure some of you may have, maybe all of you have. You felt there's no way out, and all of a sudden the circumstances changed. It wasn't coincidence. It was God. It was God opening the Red Sea in your life. Our Heavenly Father stopped the rotation of the earth and the revolution of the moon around the earth when Joshua and the people of Israel were fighting against the Amorites. He stopped it. In other words, time stopped for a while. The sun did not set until the Israelites took vengeance on the Amorites. It didn't set for one full day. This can still be seen in the astronomical calculations of time. Scientists won't admit it. They won't admit the answer is right in the Bible, but it's there. We belong to the same God who used the young King David to defeat the giant who was 9 feet 9 inches tall and covered in armor. Here's another good one. Our God made the Syrian army to hear an event that didn't even exist. I love this. The Syrian army heard an event that didn't exist. I mean, they were about to attack Israel at this point. And the Syrian army heard an event that didn't exist. They heard the sound. They fled in the face of nothing. What happened over here? God made the Syrian army to hear the sound of invading armies, which were nowhere to be found. But they fled because they heard the noise. They fled in the face of nothing but God. We belong to the same God who gave Mary a child even before she was with Joseph. The angel Gabriel had told Mary, this is a good one, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Again, not cliche, it's real. Think of it when you have a problem that you think you can't get out of. Nothing shall be impossible. He's the Christ of every crisis. Nothing is beyond him. As we always say, and I love the thought, you're not going to stump him. So bring your problems to him, whatever it is. Considering these examples of God's greatness, and there are more, I've limited myself over here, but we know there's plenty more in the Bible. We can agree with the Shunammite woman, it shall be well. And tell yourself that this morning. It shall be well. I don't know if God's speaking to any one individual this morning or all of us. I would think all of us, but he's telling us it shall be well. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. If you want to turn to it, I'll give you a moment. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? Let's stop there for a minute. I may have explained this a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure. Why do you say, O Jacob? Jacob refers to us as God's creation. When God says Israel, in other words, those of us who know God. Keep that in mind. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God? Oh, yeah? Do you not know? Have you not read? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Therefore, we can have faith that it shall be well. There was a hymn that we used to sing years back. We had all the Italian books around here. But translated, the chorus says, O my soul, why are you cast down? And why are you moved, O my spirit? Do not fear. The previous message, do not fear anymore. Wait for God. Why, of course, he will come. Therefore, through faith, it shall be well. Nothing escapes God's eyes. He made eyes. How would he not see or be aware of even the smallest detail of our lives? We think God's not paying attention to that. Why would you care about something so insignificant? Hello, he does care. Every little detail of our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We can lean on someone's shoulders for comfort, but man is limited. However, God's arms are everlasting. We can always lean on his arms, and we sing to him, lean on his arms. You know, one of the verses to that hymn, the third verse of that hymn says, just lean on the arms of Jesus. Oh, bring every care, bring every care. Check this out. The burden that has seemed so heavy, take to the Lord in prayer. Fourth verse. Just lean on the arms of Jesus, then leave all to him, leave all to him. His heart is full of love and mercy. His eyes are never dim. It shall be well. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is our great high priest. He knows what we are going through and understands our feelings, and he is very approachable. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. He is our great high priest. Through faith, it shall be well. Jesus is the friend of the midnight. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. There is a friend who sticks closer than the brother. So now we're really getting the idea, it shall be well. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Jesus is our absolute best friend. Therefore, it shall be well. It shall be well because Jesus is our shepherd. We know that we are the Lord's sheep. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 10? I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Lord is in control, and no one has power to pluck us out of his hands. It shall be well because Jesus shed his precious blood for us. We don't know, cannot comprehend how much power is in the blood of Jesus. We sing that there is wonder-working power in his blood. There is infinite power in the blood of Jesus. Demons fear the blood of Jesus. The power of the Almighty God is in the blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 says, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. He is in control of everything." It's a nice thing to think of when you watch the news. God's in control of everything. "Therefore, it shall be well." Now, getting back to this portion in 2 Kings chapter 4, notice that when Gehazi questioned the Shunammite woman about herself, her husband, her son, she answered, "It shall be well." No, it wasn't well. This woman just lost her son. But through faith, she said, "It shall be well." Where is our faith this morning? This woman didn't complain. She didn't say, "Look at what God did to me," or, "It's because of the Lord that I'm in this condition." She never said anything like that. How many times do we complain to God about much smaller events in our life, but we blame him because of God this happened? This woman didn't complain. She just brought a petition to the Lord through the man of God. And what happened? Now we know there is a difference between clinical death and biological death. I know I've mentioned this before, but it's good to review this concept at this point. Because it took about 2 hours to go from the woman's house to the prophet Elijah. 2 hours. Clinical death is the moment, clinical death is the moment that the person's heart stops beating. At that moment, breathing, circulation stops. Biological death, when brain cells die from a lack of oxygen, that's about 4 to 6 minutes after death. All neurological functions irreversibly stop, irreversibly. As we said, this boy was dead not longer than 6 minutes. It was more like two. You do a calculation, I'm not going to go into it, but you do a calculation with the distance and everything. This boy was dead about 2 hours. But notice that when he was brought back to life, he sneezed 7 times. In the Bible, the number 7 represents completeness and perfection. When the Lord restored life to this boy, you can be sure that there was no brain damage or any abnormality. Of course, after 2 hours, he should have been totally brain dead and just gone. When God restored the life, there was no damage. This boy was totally whole. To God, it makes no difference how long the boy was dead. Death doesn't overwhelm God. Death must obey God. He is the author of life, and as we sing, he is the living breath of life. This morning, if you have a broken or unfulfilled dream, if you have issues that have never resolved, problems that seem insurmountable, a condition in which there seems to be no way out, bring them to Jesus this morning. This morning, he's telling us many times over, it shall be well. We belong to God, having been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. He is our best friend. He is the infinite love who died for us. He is our almighty God with unsearchable wisdom. He is our eternal God, our everlasting Father, who will reign forever. Because he lives, it shall be well.